So we are about halfway through what I'd call part two of our Proverbs series. If you've been with us this summer, you know that back in June, we started a series in Proverbs. But once we finished June and finished going through Proverbs the first time, once we hit July, what did we do? We started back over again, right? So we're going through Proverbs a second time now that we are in July. A reminder of why we're doing this, two reasons. One is to recognize the healthy rhythm of always being in God's word. It's not one of these of like, well, I've read that before, I know that story. There is not just value, but there is a necessity of being in God's word daily because we need his word, we need his wisdom daily. So that's part of it. The other part of it is I want you to be able to experience the verse that we read at the very beginning out of 2 Timothy and out of Hebrews chapter 4 that speaks about how God's word speaks. That God's word is alive and active. That God's word is helpful and useful to teach us and correct us. I want you to not just know that and believe that. I want you to be able to experience that. So one of my prayers for you is that now that we are in July and we are going through Proverbs for a second time, my prayer is that you will catch yourself, start saying things like, oh, I didn't even notice this was in here. Like I read this last month and somehow I didn't see it. And now I'm reading and I can't believe this is in here. I so needed this today. And I promise you, that wording, that verse, that theme did not just pop in there over the last month. It's been in there. But sometimes God highlights certain aspects of his word because that's what we need to be reminded of or need to be taught, or that's what we need to hear today. Maybe you'll catch yourself saying like, man, I read this last month, but oh my goodness, it means so much more today. Meaning like, yes, God's word applied back in June, but maybe you're in a different environment, different situation, you're dealing with different things in life, you're making different decisions, and now you read and you're like, oh, I really needed to hear this. I want you to experience that God's word is alive and is active. So now that we're in it a second time, hopefully you will start to see those and experience those moments. So today is July 13th, so we are reading through Proverbs chapter 13. You're in luck. We are going to look at only one verse the entire day today. There's so much in here. We're going to look at some other sub verses and stuff. But for Proverbs, we're going to look at one passage. But I need to help you understand the context of Proverbs 13 and this little section around 13 first. So if you read through all of Proverbs chapter 13, which we're going to be doing today on our own. But if you read through all of it, you're going to notice that every piece of wisdom, every proverb, every example given in chapter 13 is all focused around behaviors. Specifically, this is wise behaviors. This is what righteous behaviors look like. This is what godly behaviors and actions look like. So here Solomon is giving us some examples, very specific examples and specific behaviors, but it's really lumped into those two categories. Here's what behaviors look like for the wise. Here's what behaviors look like for the foolish. Here's what behaviors look like for the righteous. Here's what behaviors look like for the wicked. And he goes through a bunch of different examples. Everything from work. Here's the behavior of work for the wise. Here's how people that are foolish, here's how they work. About money. He says, here's the behaviors of the godly and the wise in regards to how they use money. Here's how the foolish and the ungodly, here's how they use money. Here's how the godly speak. Here's how the foolish speak. So he kind of goes back and forth and contrasts all of these behaviors through the lens of the godly and the wicked, or the righteous and the evil, the wise and the fool. So even though we're only reading one verse, it's part of a bigger theme of just behaviors in general. But trust me, there is plenty here for us to dig into, but there is a deeper level that we're gonna get to once we kind of understand verse 3. So if you look with me, hopefully you got a Bible, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Here's the verse we're gonna look at today, and we'll go real slow. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. You see why we're spending all of our Sunday just on one verse? I think we would all say like, yep, I need to hear that and I just need to stay there for a little bit, right? So let's stay there. Again, bigger picture here in chapter 13, we're talking about the behaviors of the wise and the foolish, the godly and the ungodly. So big picture behaviors. more specifically in what we say, how we say it, the words that come out of our mouth. The biblical language here is tongue. We're going to talk about that. So in regards to the behavior of how we speak as those with godly wisdom, let me reread this verse again, but we're going to go a lot slower because I want to make sure that we are all on the same page on what this piece of wisdom is actually saying from God's word. So if we reread it, let's highlight some different parts. Starts with those who. Those who. So the writer here, Solomon, it's because of those two words, those who. He's almost dividing the population into two big groups or two big categories. Those who and those that. Here's these people and here's what they do, the behaviors. And then here's these people and what they do and their behaviors. So we have to understand, we have to be willing to see. He's kind of making a very clear distinction between this group of people and this group of people. So those who, two different groups of people. What separates them? This next word, control. Those who control, big word here, and we're gonna kind of unpack this. Obviously talking specifically in this context around controlling our tongue and the words that we speak. But that idea of control speaks to the intentionality of what we speak. So this isn't those who control their tongue. This is the group of people that don't just say whatever they wanna say. This is not a group of people that just say what they feel like saying. This is a group of people that think before they speak. This is a group of people that are slow to speak. This is a group of people that are hyper intentional about the words that they use. They are controlling and in control of what they say. Now let's really understand this idea of control. There's two parts of it. Two parts. Willpower and self-control. They sound like the same thing. They're not. So let me help you understand the differences here. Willpower and self-control both fall into the category of being in control. Willpower is exactly what it sounds like. You have the power according to your will. You choose to do something and you have the power to do so. And all of us in this room have an aspect of willpower. We do have willpower. We don't always have a lot of it, but we do have willpower. These are the things within our control in order to be in control. For example, not just for parents, but probably all of us. If you're a parent, you probably say this to your kids now. You know the phrase your parents ever tell you, the garbage in, garbage out. Yes, in regards to what you say. It's an input and output discussion. It's what you put in, then eventually comes out. So garbage in, then you end up saying garbage, right? So the things within willpower, within our control, are the inputs. That's why it's important to pay attention to what we watch and what we listen to and what we read and the environments we're around and the relationships that we have. Those are the inputs. And so on some level, our willpower is either strengthened or eroded by what we put in. When we have strong boundaries around what we allow into our lives and into our heart, then we have an increased willpower to stay in control of the things that we then output, right? So we all have willpower, whether it's strong, whether it's a little bit weaker, depends on the environment, depends on the day, but we do all have willpower. It is your power though. Self-control is not based on your power. Scripture out of Galatians tells us that self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. So now we are not relying on our own power according to our own will. We are now dependent on the Holy Spirit to produce and develop and grow something not of us, in us, in order to be in control. So it's very different than willpower. Self-control is developed and grown and produced by the Holy Spirit that dwells within every believer that believes Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And then he begins to produce self-control in us as we abide in him, as we grow in our relationship with him, as we trust in him and depend on him. The reason is so important to separate the idea of willpower and self-control is because if we only focus on self-control, it runs out eventually. Or I'm sorry, on willpower. Willpower will run out eventually. I know that to be true because we have all said things like, I didn't mean to say that. The fact that we say that says my willpower ran out. I was in control for a while, for a long while. I had the willpower and the ability to stay in control of what I say until this moment. And in that moment, I said something that I should not have said. I did something I should not have done. My willpower ran out, and now I have a regret. So when we run out of our willpower, we either say things we don't want to say or say things we shouldn't say, or we rely on the Holy Spirit to develop this other power within us, to have this self-control, right? And we've experienced that, where it's like, man, I have no idea how I kept my tongue quiet for that long. Well, that's the power of the Holy Spirit giving you a power of control, power of self-control that you did not have on your own, and it's not by your power. I say all that because you really do need both, right? We need to be very intentional with the inputs that we put in our life to grow in our willpower and to have discipline. Obedience is important, but we also need to rely on and depend on the Holy Spirit to grow and produce self-control within us. So control is a big part of this conversation. Those who, different category, those who do what? Control, specifically what? Their tongue. Two parts to pay attention to here. The word their. So Solomon's talking about those people, they control their own tongue. What he's not saying is those people try to control everybody else. And so often we unintentionally take on a false sense of responsibility for what everybody else says and what everybody else does. That's not what we are called to. We can't. We barely can stay in control of our own words and our own tongue, much less anybody else's. Parents, we probably have the hardest time with this because we're trying to teach and parent and raise our kids. And so we're trying to control what they do and what they say. But here, Solomon is putting the spotlight on ourselves, those who control their own tongue. So we have to focus on ourselves, not everybody else in this case. Then the idea of tongue. It's not just the spoken word. That tends to be what we think of, but there's actually three parts of what the Bible would call the tongue. First part is exactly that, the spoken word, the things that you say, spoken word. Then you have the unspoken words. Those are the things that you say without saying it. That's the eye roll. That's when you say one thing, but your face says something totally different. That's the unspoken word. And then we have the written word, which is very big in our culture and day to day. So that is every word you text. That is every word you post. That is every word that you repost. I didn't say it, I just shared it. Same thing. So anything that we share, anything that we email, so anything that is a written word is also part of the tongue. So don't just hear this as what we verbally say. That is a third of it. Also what we don't say, but actually mean to say, and then what we actually would put in the written word. Next part, those who control their tongue, notice what this is pointing to here. Notice what the focus is. Will have a long life. Oftentimes, as you're studying through Proverbs, I hope you've maybe picked up on parts of this, is that the wise, the godly wisdom that he gives us, the wise tends to look ahead and see with a longer view. We would call that an eternal perspective. So the wise interact with other people and make decisions with the future in mind. The fool is looking for instant gratification. So in this case here, in context of our words, those who control their tongue, the wise, those that are following godly wisdom, look at the time frame, will have a long life. In other words, I'm gonna say something or not say something today because of what that will produce 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, a generation down the road. So the words that are spoken or not spoken by the wise are looking ahead of what will this produce? How will this be beneficial? What will the result be later on? That would be more of an eternal perspective where the fool is like, I'm just gonna say what I wanna say because I feel like saying it right now. And there's this sense of an instant gratification. Oh man, it felt good to just go off on somebody. But that's the fool that's not looking ahead. Last part we're gonna see here. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. So now we're discovering the power that words have. We're no longer just talking about these two different groups of people, those that control their tongue, those that are having an eternal perspective. Now we're saying, because the whole reason we're having this conversation is because words are powerful. Words are impactful. words can ruin everything. The word can there is really important. Doesn't mean it will ruin everything, but it has the power and the potential to cause devastation. It can be used for good. Our words can be used for good, but man, our words can cause devastation, destruction, hurt, and harm. We see that principle, we see that truth in other places in scripture as well. Proverbs chapter 18, just a few chapters of where we're studying today, verse 21, the tongue will bring death or life. Notice it can do both. It's all about how we choose to use it. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. That could be a positive consequence where it brings life, or it could be a negative consequence where it's actually bringing death and destruction. It all comes back to the words that are spoken. Comes back to the one speaking, which goes back to what we just read, those who control their tongue, those who are intentional with what they say and what they don't say. James in the New Testament, chapter 3, really just all of chapter 3. If you want to do like a little bit of a deeper dive into the words that we speak and what godly wisdom says about our words, read all of James chapter 3. I'm just going to highlight a few verses here. Verse 3 through 5, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, even as if a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. So yeah, our words, the tongue, our mouth is a small aspect of the overall body, but oh, it can cause great damage or great good. It all comes back again to the wisdom we're reading out of Proverbs 13. Those who control their tongue. That's what this piece of wisdom is pointing to. That's the godly behavior that God desires from us. That as we are believers, disciples that make disciples, as we live out our Christian life and our Christian faith, he desires that we would match what Proverbs teaches, that we would be wise, that we would control our tongue and use our words in a way that is good and helpful and points other people back to him. As great as that is, I think there's a mistake we could easily make here. The mistake we could make is, oh man, I'm so glad we studied this. I'm so glad I'm here today. I need to work on my language. And you could walk out of here and just be thinking, I need to talk better. I need to use good words. I need to cuss less and complain less. I'm gonna focus on my language. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it's not the best thing. Because if we're just focusing on our words, if we're just focusing on the behavior, we're really just dealing with a symptom. That's all that is. Our words are a symptom. We need to get to the root of it. So as much as yes, like I want us to hear, like this is what God desires. He painted a picture. This is what wise behavior looks like. This is what godly behavior looks like. Here's what godly words sound like and look like. You've got to be in control, the things you say. But we cannot just walk out of here thinking, so I'm going to try harder. That just deals with the symptom and you're going to find yourself in a constant state of failure and frustration. So what do we do to look at the root of the words that we say? For that, we're going to listen to what Jesus had to say on the topic. Luke chapter 6, Jesus' words here. Listen to how he talks about it. Verse 43 gives a little bit of an illustration here. He says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. Not that it shouldn't, it physically cannot. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good what? Heart, from a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Notice what he says. What you say, the words that you say, flows from what is in your what? Heart. Do you hear what Jesus is now pointing to? So Proverbs paints us a picture of what a godly life looks like. A life that is lived based on the wisdom and truths of God. And that's our behavior. But Jesus says, yes, that's important. But in order to change the behavior, we don't want to just think about changing our language and changing our behavior. We need to go to the heart of the issue. We need to go to the source. We need to go to the heart. Because the words that we speak are nothing more than echoes of the heart. What is in our heart, according to Jesus, will come out. Our words are nothing but echoes of the heart. So that tells us, for our study today, yes, we're reading about the behavior, but it goes so much deeper than just the behavior. We need to talk about, first and foremost, the heart of it. Now, as I do this, no judgment on my spelling, my drawing abilities whatsoever. Agreed? This is supposed to be a safe place to not be perfect at things. So if there's a mistake, keep it to yourself till later. So what was Jesus's point? What do we need to talk about? We need to start with the heart. I was having this conversation with a friend over lunch, I don't know, about a month or so ago, and it has continued to be like stuck in my head. We were talking about behaviors and actually where it starts, and man, it was a great lunch, so you're getting a little bit of like that lunch conversation. It has to start with our heart. The heart is our beliefs. The heart is gonna ask the question, what do you believe? And we will answer, here's what's in my heart, by saying, here's what I believe. Then based on what we believe, what's in our heart, then this begins to change. Then our mind and our thoughts begin to change. So Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 tells us that if we believe in our heart and proclaim that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. That is called a confession of faith. And it begins in our heart. What do we believe? What do I believe? That God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is my savior. Those are beliefs. That's our faith. That's what's in our heart. Then in Romans chapter 12, we're told in verse 2, so do not conform to the patterns of this world, but instead let the Holy Spirit renew your minds. So because of what I believe and that Jesus, his spirit lives in my heart, then he, the Holy Spirit, changes my heart and then begins to renew my mind. So now I think differently. I think about the world differently. I think about other people differently. I think about money differently. I think about time differently. I think about parenting differently. I think about marriage differently. I think about jobs differently. We think about everything differently because of what we first believe in our heart. The Holy Spirit begins to renew and change how we think and how we see the world around us. And then out of what we think and how we think, come to what we just read out of Proverbs today. All of our actions. But our actions do not just stand alone by themselves. They come from something, from our thoughts, and then from our heart. Here's how I know this works in this way, and a great example is within parenting especially. So as you're parenting, or if you remember when you were a kid, parents are great at saying all the things you shouldn't do, right? That's part of my job, is just to say no as much as I possibly can. Whatever you feel like doing, probably not. Whatever you think you wanna say, no. So we say no, or we give a correction. We tell them what the actions are. And 9 times out of 10, the kids are gonna ask a really important question. And I truly mean this. It really is an important question, even if it gets bothersome at some point. It's a great question. We really all should get better at it. But why? But why? I'm not supposed to say this, but why? You want me to do this, but why? There's a but why question to it. And parenting, we tend to, because at this point we're probably frustrated, we probably respond with the good old cliche answer of because I said so. That's right. Now, please hear me. I kind of tease and make fun of it. That is not a bad answer, though, because I said so also points to authority, which is biblical. Even in our relationship with God, God gives us a lot of actions and behaviors and ways to live. Do I understand all of them? No. Do I have to understand all of them? No. So sometimes when we say, but why, God? Sometimes his answer is because I said so. That's okay, because I believe in the authority of God as the ultimate authority. I believe in the authority of Scripture. So because I said so is still an okay answer, but we should be okay asking a but why question. So when I'm telling my kids to say this or don't say this or don't do this, they ask but why. Instead of just saying because I said so, not a bad answer, but I do want to point to, well, let's think about this differently. So we have three kids, Connor, Cole, and Collins, they're siblings. Siblings are going to argue and fight. We have great kids, but that's just part of it at times. So when they're maybe not treating each other the best, I'll say, guys, stop treating each other like that. But why? They did this or she said that. I said, because we're going to see them differently. They're not just family. They're made in the image of God. And because I believe that God created all human beings in his own image, that means they are image bearers. That means we are going to think differently about them. Therefore, we're going to treat them and speak to them differently. Do you hear how that has a little bit of a different why attached to it? It's no longer just about the behavior. We have to also pay attention to where are those behaviors coming from? What are they rooted in? And it needs to be rooted according to Jesus, what we read out of Luke chapter 6. It needs to be rooted in our hearts. What we believe, how we think, what we do. But we need to work it backwards. What we do comes from how we think, and how we think comes from what we believe. That is an important part. If we miss the arrows part of this, then what tends to happen is we just make it about the behaviors, and we isolate our behaviors from truly what's in our heart. We have to first ask, what is in our heart? What do I believe? Holy Spirit, how are you changing my mind? How are you renewing my mind? And then I've got a whole list of scriptures that speak to, here's what this life looks like. Here's what the godly life looks like. Here's what godly behaviors look like, but it's based on what's true. It's based on our belief about who God is. That's how we have to begin to think about our behaviors. Because, church, I think with good intentions, we can get this all wrong and make some unintentional mistakes here. As Christians, should our lives look different? Yes, of course. But if all we're focusing on is the behavior, we miss the heart and we're missing the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus came to save us from our sins. The good news in the gospel is not Jesus came, so shape up. That's not the gospel. The good news is he came to save us when we could not save ourselves, to give us grace when we don't deserve it. That is the good news. And when we believe in the good news, our minds change. We are given a new life, scripture tells us. And then yes, we intentionally live a new life. And this new life that we live, all of our actions should lead us towards righteousness. We talk about this word a lot. Righteousness is right living. According to God's word, right living towards him, like the right actions, how we act and how we live towards him and towards others. But it's also about relationship, being in right relationship with God and others. So our actions, what we're reading here about our words should lead us to a place where we are closer to other people in relationship and to God, where we're doing the right thing to other people and doing the right thing according to God. Our actions should almost point back to the righteousness that is in our heart because of Jesus, almost every single time. So let me walk you through an example. But as we walk through this example, please hear me. It is not about behavior modification. It's not about just change your actions. It's not about the symptom. The Christian life is not about behavior modification. The Christian life is about heart transformation. Our heart is transformed by the power and grace of Jesus, period. Then his Holy Spirit does a work in us, gives us a new life, renews our minds. And now we are aware of it. So we are intentionally living a life towards righteousness, towards him and towards others. All right, let me give you an example. Maybe this will help kind of connect the dots a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29, another great passage that are all over scripture about our words and the importance of our words. Ephesians 4, 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful and beneficial in building others up so that others may benefit. Can you tell that that's a big one in our household? So that's the behavior. The behavior is do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Notice how it points to righteousness so that it may be helpful and beneficial according to their needs and so that it may be valuable to the people that are around. So that's leading, it's using our words to lead other people towards righteousness. That's just the behavior and the actions. We should all ask the but why question. Let's go ahead and ask it. But why? I'm so glad you asked. Let's get back to the heart of it. So Ephesians chapter 4, that was verse 29. If we go all the way up to verse 21, you're going to see Paul write the heart, mind, and behavior in order and how they connect together. Verse 21, Paul said this, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. So since you know Jesus and you know the truth, that is now your belief system. What you believe, the truth of Jesus, that is now in your heart. So since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So there has been a heart transformation. The moment you heard about Jesus and you've heard the truth that comes from Jesus and you've accepted that truth, your heart has been radically and supernaturally and eternally changed. There is a heart transformation that has just taken place. Before any behavior modification, there is a heart change. Verse 23, notice how he begins to change our minds and our thoughts. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your what? Thoughts. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. That's up in our minds. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Here it is. Truly righteous and holy. So I met Jesus. I know the truth of Jesus. I've accepted Jesus. He's changed my heart. Now the Holy Spirit dwells within me and he's renewing my mind. I'm seeing this whole world totally different now because he has given me a new life and a new mind. And then out of the new heart and the new mind, now we start getting all of these behaviors. And there's a long list. I'm not going to read them all, but just to highlight a few of them. He says, stop lying. Don't let anger control you. Quit stealing. Verse 29, don't use unwholesome language. Then he goes through he starts going off on a whole list. Verse 31, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well of all types of, listen, evil behavior. All types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as through Christ God has forgiven you. So he goes through this long list of behaviors, but not before he talked about the heart and the renewal of our mind. We have to start with our heart, not just the behavior and not just our actions. All of Proverbs, we said this at the very beginning, we said this is going to be a theme throughout. The foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom and true knowledge of the Holy One. Chapter 1, chapter 9, we see it over and over and over again. And even though Proverbs gives us a very good picture of godly versus ungodly, wise versus foolish, it's all based on our heart. The fear of the Lord has to do with our heart, the posture of our heart before God Almighty. So instead of me asking you the question, what words do you need to change? Instead of me having you reflect on how do I need to improve my language, here's what I would rather ask you and have you wrestle with. What do you believe? What do you believe? What's in your heart? Because based on how you answer that question, what you believe, then that begins to change how you view and see the world and people. And as you see people the way God sees people, as you see the world the way that God sees the world, as he transforms your heart and your mind, we begin to live, act, and speak differently. As Jesus moves into our heart and renews our mind, our lives begin to look a whole lot more like Jesus and a whole lot less like us. So what do you believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about his word? What do you believe about you and your relationship with God? What do you believe about your identity? What do you believe about your purpose and your calling in this life? What do you believe about other people? What do you believe about this world and the situations that we find ourselves in, the heartaches and the problems? What do you believe? Because if we believe that God is sovereign and over all and has all authority, that changes how we think and it changes how we live. If you believe that God loves you, that changes how you think and how you live. If you believe that he doesn't just love you, but he gives you grace and forgives you when you don't deserve it, it changes how you think and how you live. If you believe that his word is true, even when you don't always understand it, it changes how you think and how you live. If you believe that you have been adopted into his family and that you are now a son or a daughter of his, it changes how you think and how you live. If you believe that God created all of humans in his own image, then it changes how you think of others and how you live. What do you believe? I hope and I pray that you would believe that God loves you, that he loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you, to forgive you and to give you grace so that we could live with him. I pray that would be your belief. In Psalms, David wrote this, and I pray this would maybe resonate with you as well. Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and, doesn't end with the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. And notice how he talks about his Lord, our Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What did David believe about God? That he was Lord of all, my rock and my redeemer, which changes how we think, which changes our words, how we speak and how we act. So may that be true for us. May our words, may our hearts be pleasing to him, our rock and our redeemer. As we pray, Ryan set this up earlier as we were singing together, talked about the heart change. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about changing your words. We're talking about changing your heart. So what does God need to do in your own heart? What are you aware of? God, I need you to do a work in my heart because I can't do this. Jesus changes our hearts. He transforms our hearts. Would you allow him to begin that work in you today? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us so much that before you ever gave us a picture of the right behavior, you first want to work on our hearts. So God, we invite you in to do a holy and righteous work in each of our own hearts. God, would you move out anything that's not of you? Would you change anything that is not of you? Would you break anything in our hearts that is not of you? Change us by changing our hearts. Holy Spirit, we invite you and desire you to renew our minds. Help us to see this world differently. Help us to think about this world and others differently. Renew our minds. And then would you give us the power and the courage and the wisdom to know how to live? To live a righteous life, a godly life, a wise life. To live a life that points back to our heart. To point back to what we believe. That you love us. And that our salvation only comes from you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.